same. Genesis chapter 25.
Okay, Genesis 25.
Isaac and the... Isaac and the Philistines.
In Isaiah 25 it says...
Genesis 25
it says in verse 17 that... verse 18 it says, Isaac digged again the wells of water that Petah had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines to stop them. And then it tells you in that the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours, and they strove with Isaac about those wells, and I think in some cases they filled in the wells.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be brief, and then it says...
chapter 26, by the way. It's chapter 26.
I'm sorry, chapter 26,
was,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And he built it there. It says in verse 26, Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Husa, one of his friends, and quite called the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? So they had at one point asked Isaac to leave them because of his prosperity. But one of the things that they did was every time he would reopen the walls, they would stop up the walls. And you often hear that. The enemy of our souls don't want us to have refreshment. So what happens is that in this case, Isaac doesn't do anything, but it says that those who oppose him actually came to him themselves. I was thinking of a verse, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, they get even his enemies to be at peace with him. So I'm thinking that in the idea of conflict, sometimes you're going the right path and there's someone who's striving against you, but if you do the will of God, you walk according to God's ways, He will make things right. He says He'll make even your enemies get peace with you.
Amen. Okay, other examples. So that's two we've had so far.
I'd like to just follow on there in Genesis 26, where they dug the wells in verse 18, and then in verse 20, the herdsmen of Gerar argued about it. In verse 21, they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. Verse 22, he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over that one. And so that's the last occasion of the wells in that session, incident.
Mm-hmm.
But another response is, it's not worth strutting. Would you say? Mm-hmm. This well does belong to me. I deserve to have this well, but it's not worth the strife to argue about it. It's better for the testimony of the Lord or for reducing the conflict to just go dig another well. And in fact, that happened again. I think if I were Isaac, I think that second time I would have said, look, I already gave you one well. Give me this one too. But I mean, even a third time, to go through that. I was looking at a related passage then in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And especially this idea of forbearance. It's not my habit to forbear. It's my habit to say, you know, I don't think that was the right way to do things. I think we should have done it this way. I wonder if we might just spend a moment linking this with what Craig mentioned at the beginning of our study about sweeping it under the rug. What's the difference between forbearing, where you just let it go, and sweeping it under the rug, which is not a helpful response? That's my question as we talk about this.
One verse about forbearance in this context, thinking of Isaac, in Proverbs chapter 17, and it's verse 14. Proverbs 17, 14 says, the beginning of strife is like the releasing water. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. And I think that is really what Isaac did, is he didn't spend time on the issue. He, as Steve mentioned, is this really worth the fight? One day, most everybody in this room will be raising children, and one of the best advice I ever received was, pick your battles. Is this really worth fighting over? Is this a principle that's really worth quarreling over? And this is what I think Isaac did at this point. And in thinking of this verse, therefore stop contention before quarrel starts.
Yeah, the difference between forbearance and sweeping under the rug, forbearance is a positive action in response to the action. The other ones are not, is a non-action. Okay.
Go ahead.
Hannah and I forget the name of Elkanah's other wife. And and Sarah and
Hagar.
Hagar. Those are two other examples.
I mean, of conflict, you mean?
Yeah.
So, okay, we got the examples, but how did they respond in those situations? That's the thing. That's what we're trying to look. How did Hannah respond? First Samuel.
She committed her way to the Lord. You know, you don't get the impression, I guess you can turn to it.
First Samuel.
So I guess 1 Samuel, starting at verse 3, says, year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Mm-hmm. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? When I mean more to you than 10 sons. And then we see Hannah's response. Nowhere in there do we say that she responds to the threat that we put against her. It says, once they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. And in verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord.
Amen. She prayed to the Lord and basically laid it up before the Lord. Yeah. And you have the other example of Sarah and...
Hagar.
Okay. And actually had that was one. Go ahead. This is in Genesis. Where is Genesis where? Is it around 16? 21? Then she sent her away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. At 8 to 10. Go ahead. Genesis 21.
There's really two conflicts. One is chapter 16, somebody said, and somebody else said 21. So you probably learn from both. I don't know which one you had in mind, Craig.
Same conflict that was never resolved.
Yeah, good point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's almost as if in Genesis chapter 21, after Isaac is born, mm-hmm. that Sarah gets the last laugh, as it were. Sending Hagar away. But I think we see in the first portion considered in Genesis 16, where you know Sarah has an incorrect response. By you know there's conflict there. Rather than addressing it in the appropriate way, she encourages her husband to do something that I mean we're still bearing the consequences today from.
Interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
Just shows the long term mm-hmm. negative consequences that can come if we don't handle conflict in the appropriate way.
Interesting thought came to me just tonight. Hannah, in her response, she prayed to the Lord and waited for the Lord to answer her prayer. Sarah's response was to take matters into her own hands.
Right.
And actually, Sarah contributed to the problem. It really, she and Abraham contributed to the problem.
Right.
Okay.